All right, we're in Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 tonight. I heard from Pastor and they arrived to deliver the kids about 4 o'clock, I think. They went to church in Toledo and then they are going to church there where his kids are in school in Indiana. And so they're doing well. They've had a good vacation and now the delivery of the kids. Amos chapter 3 and verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion 2 legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. One commentator that I read after described the scene this way. The picture here, he said, is of a lion who caught a lamb. And in preparation for the meeting, I watched some YouTube videos of lions roaring and eating their prey and so forth, just to get the veracity of it. The shepherd quickly ran to retrieve the lamb from the mouth of the lion. He grabbed the lamb in a last-minute effort to retrieve the lamb and save the lamb's life. And he pulls on one leg, and he pulls hard. And finally, he pulls until the leg of the lamb was severed from the body. Because the shepherd then had nothing on which to pull, he frantically grabbed and grabbed and grabbed another leg of the lamb, and soon that leg too was severed from the body. He loved the lamb. He wanted to save the lamb. He was desperate to save the lamb, and he's pulling for all he's worth, and he pulls that limb off also. Then the shepherd reaches into the mouth of the lion as far as he could and grabs an ear. That was all he could grab, the ear, and pulled, and finally the ear of the lamb is severed, and the lion devoured the prey. And putting himself at risk, the shepherd did all that he could to save the lamb from the lion, but in the end, it was not enough. Sad story. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible describes the new Christian as a lamb, but also our children are lambs, and we as parents shepherd our children. The lion is a symbol of our adversary, the devil. That's clear in the scripture, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 now, 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, pouncing around looking for someone to devour, and he loves the lambs. Make no mistake about it, the devil is out to destroy and devour your children and every new convert that we have at this church. The only eternal possession that you and I have are our children, and the Bible is eternal as well. We can take our children with us to heaven for all eternity, but the devil has a different intention in mind for our children entirely. John chapter 10 says that he wants to steal and kill and destroy our children, our seed. Our posterity, he wants to destroy them. He wants to destroy your family for generations to come. And we are seeing new tricks in his arsenal in our day. The shepherd tried valiantly and courageously to save the dear lamb. But in the end, all he could salvage from the lamb was 2 legs and the piece of an ear. I want to preach on that tonight. 2 legs and the piece of an ear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for these dear folks. And Lord, we love our new converts. And Lord, we love our children in this church. All of us love all of them. But Lord, parents especially love their children. Lord, we don't want to lose any of them. I'm praying in Jesus' name that you'll help us to be awake and alert. I pray that we will be awakened ever the more tonight to our responsibility to do all that we can to preserve them for the glory of God. And we'll pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we consider this scene tonight, I want to challenge you again about several truths. First of all, we must keep the lambs from the lion. We have an obligation to keep the lambs from the lion. This is why we have old-fashioned family devotions, and even that may not be enough. It's why we have homeschool and some have Christian school, and even that may not be enough. It's why we are vigilant to restrict and monitor everything that our children see on TV or on a computer or books or magazines that they might read, and still, that may not be enough. It's why the children don't need a cell phone. The cell phone gives them access to everything we're against. Now, not everything on it is sinful, that's for sure, but it gives them access in an immature time in their life. And if you do allow it in your family, you need to talk to the pastor about what he did with his family and the safeguards he built in with the cell phone later in their teen years. It's why we guard who their friends are and where they go and what they do. And still, that may not be enough. The devil is out to get them. It's why we bring them to church every service. And still, that may not be enough. It's why we encourage them to be involved in ministry, and we ourselves are involved in some way in the church as an example, but that may not be enough. Turn to Psalm 119. We're trying to keep our precious lambs from the lion. Of everything that our children in this church need, the Bible is the most important. They need the Bible. More Bible is better. Much Bible is better yet. We need a lot of Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. But if he doesn't know the word, how's he going to take heed to it? So they need the Bible. In Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how they're going to know how to make decisions, by his word. Right here's the answer for our young people. We need to give them more. They cannot get, they won't get too much of the Bible. Parents, you've got to find more ways to incorporate God's word in your children's hearts through Bible memory, through Bible teaching, and so forth. It's the word that God will use to direct their lives. Pump this blessed book into their lives as much as you can, Mom, Dad, every chance you can. Here's the problem. Too often, parents do nothing or very little in the home to accomplish this. They're not giving the children all that they need in the way of Bible in the home. We don't have the time to spend 10 minutes a day with our children with God's word. Now, there's something mighty problematic about that in my thinking. 10 minutes we can't give them of the word of God, but we can't miss a half hour of some talk show on TV, but we can't give them 10 minutes. We've got to have that TV, or we've got to have that soap opera, or we've got to be passing that bulk mailer that we got, email we've got to get that moved on to somebody else, and we'll spend all kinds of time on that kind of thing, and we'll fail to do that which is most important for our children, and that is get them the Word of God. Equip them to do battle with the lion. We can go shopping and run around and surf the web and check the latest news and text and everything else. Sadly, that which God says will make the biggest difference in our lamb's life, we give only lip service to. Someday, when the devil has one of our kids, we'll be lucky to preserve two legs and the piece of an ear. I want more than that, don't you? I don't want that to just be able to salvage a leg here or an ear there. I want to be able to see our kids are all serving the Lord, joy in their life, following the example of mom and dad, and following the teachings of the Bible. I want them all to serve God, not just pieces left of a dismantled life. There is a real lion, and I don't know that we're living like there is. A devil, he has aimed everything in his arsenal at your lamb. I want you to imagine that. He wants your child. Every one of your children he wants. And I'm not just talking to parents who have little ones at home. I'm talking about those who have grown children. The devil wants every one of them. And he has everything aimed at our children. We need to stand together in support and prayer of our lambs. Every parent needs to pray for his child's Sunday school teacher and pray for the Master's Club workers as they start back up, and youth leaders. And every church leader needs to pray for the parents and their children. This ought to be a reciprocation of prayer in our church for each other, because the lion wants the lambs. And we don't want to give him any of our lambs. They're precious to us. We're in the battle together. We don't want the lion to get any one of our lambs. But we won't salvage them accidentally. This is not going to be accomplished just by happenstance. If we keep them from the lion, it'll be vigilantly on purpose. Alive, alert, and on purpose. And that's why we have a camp at the church. And that's why we have a vacation Bible school, to get more Word of God into our children. That's why we have a master's club and a teen time and Sunday school classes. And that's why we have two junior choirs to teach them God's songs. And that those are the songs that will be going over in their heads. That's why we have an adult choir. That's why we have a youth service several times a year. That's why we have mission trips for our young people and other trips. And that's why Pastor has life and leadership when he's here with our young people. We are saying, devil, you go ahead and you have your alcohol and you have your gambling, you have your drugs and your dirty smut, but we are going to fight you tooth and nail for every one of the lambs that you've given us. We ought to be united on that front. We are going to fight, and we're going to fight to the very finish. If you get any of our lambs, it won't be because we didn't try. We will have two legs and the piece of an ear at least, and hopefully much more. Yet, too many parents and leaders have given up on one or two of the lambs. Kids fall one at a time, and we give up on them. They make one bad statement, and we feel everything is lost, and we become depressed because they made that statement. You know, Marcia came to Shirley and me one day. She said, I don't want to go to church anymore. Why did we have to go to church? We had to deal with her about that. She evidently got it. But they make decisions, or they have ideas. They make one bad decision. We lose heart. And we kind of dip our sails, and we're not as fervent as we were. The devil wins one round, and somehow we're defeated because he won a round. Listen, sometimes he'll win a round with our kids. I don't like it. You don't like it. But sometimes that'll happen. But we can't give up when that happens. Parents need a backbone of determination and prayer and supervision, and say to the devil, you won't have my children. You're not going to get them. You can't have them. I will fight for my lambs. I'm going to fight for them. Parents, reach into your toolbox and pull out more and fervent prayer and fasting and weeping. For God takes notice of our prayers, and God takes notice of our fastings. Grown children, it's not too late. Even if you have to take steps to pull them out of the devil's mouth, it's not too late. But here's the problem. Too often the parents are too busy. Busy with their work, busy with their burdens, their own interests, to pay attention to the lion's work in their lamb's life. The parent must spend more time with the child. He must have the heartbeat. You won't salvage your children by hopping around from church to church. Right. Not going to happen.
That's right.
Just not going to happen. Every sheep has a flock which it belongs to, and we need to be where we belong. We committed ourselves, you remember when we took membership, that we would be in all the services at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And if you're a member, you need to be here in every service. And if you're not, you ought to become a member. Sheep don't run back and forth between flocks and shepherds. Doesn't work that way. You committed yourself to be here. Unless you are sick or out of town, you ought to be here for you and your family's good. Amen. That's good preaching right there, I'll tell you. Ask some of those who have been members for more than 20 years. You don't see them running around to other churches. You don't see that. Why? Because they see that there's a lion trying to swallow the lambs. They have to be here for the fight. Thank God. I'm telling you, I come to church and I look for certain people to be here. And when they're not here, it's kind of a downer. I look for them to be here. I want them to be here. This is a fellowship. It's a family in the local church, isn't it? And I can look back, and in certain places, I can expect to see certain people. And I pray for them. I want them to be there. I enjoy their fellowship. But I fear that some are playing church, and their children see it. Listen, children are not dumb. They observe everything. And when we put something above what God says is important, they observe it. They adopt it. It becomes part of them. Some think that they are faithful, but they're not faithful. I wonder if you're faithful to work if you only miss one day a week. Are you faithful to work? If you only miss one day a week, I don't think so. Are you faithful to your wife if you only see another woman once a month? Are you faithful? Then why do you treat God's church that way? And may I remind you that it is required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
1 Corinthians 4:2. I'm doing everything I can to provoke you to do right. Amen. We're a family. I see what the lion is doing to so many homes as we go from church to church. I've committed myself to say what needs to be said, what God leads me to say, to grab these two legs and a piece of an ear and do all that I can to keep some lambs from being devoured by the devil. We need to do that. All of us need to do it. I work at learning names and names of your children. I don't always get them right. I don't. Just ask Well, you can ask about any of them. I've botched their names up a time or two. Yes, sir. Or I've forgotten them. Whatever. But I want them to know that they're important to this fellowship. And you ought to want to make them feel the same way, because they are important. Every lamb, every child, every new convert. The shepherd was in a desperate situation. He did everything that he could. He didn't give up all the way to the very end. He kept pulling and fighting and scrapping to preserve what he could. In the end, all he got was two legs and the piece of an ear. We need to keep our lambs from the lion. Number two, we are to pull them from the lion's mouth. Pull them away. Listen, it's easier to work to keep them from the lion than once the lion has them to try to get them back. Amen? Man, I don't want to have to go to the lion to try to get them back. But I will, but I'd rather keep them from the lion altogether. Amen? That's what some of you young parents are doing, and I applaud you for it. God bless you. The lion is quick and powerful, you see. He's intimidating. He's scary. He has a roar about him. He's alluring. His paw has a long reach to it. He's very dangerous. His paw is sharp and dangerous. You see these videos of tourists and children getting too close to the bear and the bison and so forth in a national park or in the zoo somewhere. They get too close, but some children are very foolish and they get close to the lion spiritually and they bite on his bait. The shepherd parents have set boundaries for them, but they sneak around and deceive and lie so that they can do what they're not supposed to do, and they know they shouldn't be doing it. And it's a violation of what mom and dad has taught them, and they don't realize the danger they're in, for the lion is there ready to grab them. But they sneak around. And all they're doing is getting closer to the lion. Parents, you see the danger, but they don't see the danger. Dad, mom, you have to keep pulling. You've got to keep reasoning with your lambs and keep discipling and disciplining and restricting and caring and challenging them. Sunday school teachers, you have a lamb in your class that doesn't show up for several weeks. You're not pulling on that leg or that ear and fighting the devil with all that's in you until you go after that one that's not here. How is it that you teach a class in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church, but you don't care enough about the lambs entrusted to you to make a phone call or send a card or go visit them? I don't get it. When I became a Baptist, I became independent Baptist more particularly, I learned that you have to go after the lambs. You've got to go after them. You've got to care for their souls. You've got to intercede for them. Pray and fast and try to persuade. Spend some time. Go pick them up. Show you really care so that the devil won't get them. If we have one of our dear young ladies have an illicit affair with someone, I pray it doesn't happen. I'll hate the devil more. That young lady will no doubt lose privileges of service at Mount Zion. Church discipline may be necessary if she's not repentant. But when it's all over, we'll still love her. And we'll love her back to fellowship and help her to rebuild her reputation and her Christian testimony. Never forget this. We don't give up on people. We are not the ones that give up on people. All of us are capable of every kind of wicked sin. When we give up on people, we kind of set ourselves a step above, like we couldn't possibly do any sin. But we are capable of everything wicked. It's the grace of God that keeps us. We wouldn't want folks to give up on us, so we shouldn't give up on them. If they have a desire to get right, do right, we'll try to work with them. However, what a delight it is, whew, when our children grow up and they don't get close to the lion. What a delight when they do right from the heart. They do right because it's right to do right. They do right because mom and dad showed them how and taught them how, and the Bible teaches it, and they want to please God and they do right. How joyful is that? They become adults and they have a heart to serve God. Man, that's exciting to see. And we've got a bunch of them in our church, and I'm just rejoicing in the Lord for every young person who has a heart to do that. I'm also seeing others who have this look in their eye. Their countenance betrays them that they're just enduring church. They're deciding whether or not they're going to follow the God of their parents. Dear friend, each one is important. We don't want to leave one behind. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. We don't want Satan to get one of our kids in this church. Not one, not one, not one. Not one young lady, not one young man. We're committed to pull them away from Satan with everything that's within us. We see an Old Testament illustration of this when Moses asked Pharaoh to let Israel go in the wilderness. You remember that. And to go worship God. And Pharaoh asked who needed to go. Well, Moses made it plain to him in verse 9 of Exodus 10:9. And Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And they needed the animals for sacrifice and food, I'm sure. But they weren't going to go without their children. But in verse 11, Pharaoh refused to let them take the children. Verse 11, "Not so. Go now," he says to Moses, "ye that are men, and serve the Lord." Just the men go. "For that ye did desire," and they were driven out from the Pharaoh's presence. And when he did that, Moses refused to go without the children. He said, "Not a hoof left behind. We're not going to leave one child behind or any of our animals behind." And God poured out another judgment on Egypt, the judgment of the locusts. Mom and dad, we have to be adamant in our determination when we're raising children. Don't give up the fight for one of your children, not one of them. Grown or young, we don't give up. You don't know what God will do tomorrow. Amen. You know, God knows our trigger points. You know, he knows how to get our kids' attention. He knows how to get our attention. Yep. We can't give up. Sunday school teacher, soul winner, youth worker, children's worker, don't treat anyone like they're expendable. Like we can lose them and it's going to be all right. In fact, if we lost them, it'd probably be better. Ooh, I don't like that attitude. That's not a shepherd's attitude. Shepherd's attitude is we're trying to win them all. We want to snatch them from the snare of the fowler. Everyone's important enough to fight for. Do all that you can in fighting spiritually for that one. Now, we have another illustration in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 11. Go over there, please. Jehosheba was like that. I mean, she was determined. And boy, oh boy, is she an example to us. Athaliah's son, King Ahaziah, died. Now get this. The son died. He was the king over Judah. And Athaliah was the mother. Well, she saw an opening for power. I mean, I want to rule this place. And so Athaliah became dastardly and got control of the whole government. We've got people like that today. We're seeing, never saw this before in our country in my life. I saw little risings of it, but good night. It's all over the place today. I can't believe it's happening. It's happening in Canada too. Happening in the Philippines. And so Athaliah's son died, the king. Athaliah wanted to rule and get control, and so she set out to kill all the king's sons and would have gotten them all if it had not been for one young lady who kept pulling two legs and the piece of an ear. That faithful lady rescued one of the king's sons, Joash, and hid him from Athaliah for 6 years in the house of God. Look at 2 Kings. Did I say 1st or 2nd? 2 Kings 11 and verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. That is all the sons of the king. And then in verse 2, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, but sister of Ahaziah, this is the aunt now, she took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Verse 3, and he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord, 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. So she reigned over the land. They had to put up with this evil, wicked woman reigning over the land for 6 years. Jehosheba, though, had a plan. She's only mentioned, listen to me, in one verse of the Bible. One verse. But she changed the course of history for Judah. She preserved one lamb from a lion. And that was her legacy. And God used Joash, and he did right in the eyes of the Lord and became a godly king in Judah. Now, I'm grateful that somebody taught me. I'm grateful that somebody cared for me. My mama fought for me. She sat me on her knee, read me the Bible. I wasn't a very good reader at all growing up. Not until fifth grade I read my first book, but up to that time, if I had a reading circle book or something, Mom read it to me, and I tried to, but I just couldn't. I read so slowly, and Jack jumped up like that. It was pitiful. But Mom set me on her knee, literally, and read me Bible stories out of Egemeyer's, I told you that before, Egemeyer's Bible storybook, and from the Bible. I had certain pages of that memorized. I said, Mom, read me that one again. And I loved it. And she fought for me. I received Christ at age 8, and I slipped for the next 9 years. Even when I went to college, I struggled. I wasn't at all stable. But my parents, my youth leader fought for me, and they stuck with me. My pastor at college fought for me. And today, I'm glad that they did. Amen. I look back and I thank God for all the teachers who invested in my life. But there were some iffy years in there. And it's so important that they stuck with me during those years. And it's important that we stick with our kids through those tough years, those iffy years. Matthew chapter 18. The shepherd knows every lamb by name. A shepherd knows every lamb by name. He knows how many lambs he has. He notices when one is missing. He counts. Oh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. Where is, and he calls them by name. The shepherd knows, the shepherd cares. Where is so-and-so? The shepherd notices if something's wrong. He notices countenances. I don't know how many times God led me, because I walk with God raising kids, led me to notice the countenance of my kids. There's something not right here. I'm raising them for the Lord, but there's something not right. And he clued me in on it. He let my eyes see something in their eye. The shepherd is faithful to go and seek that one sheep. Matthew 18 and verse 12. How think ye, if a man had have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? What's he doing? He's not letting the devil get one of them. Not one. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. So we are to keep our lambs from the lion. And if the lion gets them, we are to pull them away from the lion. Or if they start to stray, we notice it. We've got to be alert and aware. That means we've got to spend time with them. And we help them that they don't go the way of the lion. Finally, I want you to see this last point. Realize this, that we are going to lose some to the lion. I don't like this point. Look again at the caring shepherd in our text. One of his own lambs wandered from the fold. And remember this, that's when the devil gets you. Young people, that's when the devil gets you. New convert, that's when the devil gets you, when you wander from the fold. You're isolated. You watch any of the shows about the lion searching out his prey, and they try to get that prey isolated from the herd that they should be with. And when he gets you away from the fold of the local church or away from the fold of your family, then watch out. That's his plan. Some feel they have to watch Super Bowl and skip church to be able to do it. There's never been a Super Bowl that was more important than church. It never has been. Some are so busy with work or recreation or family or whatever it is that they feel justified to miss church. We've got a problem here. This is where we fellowship. This is where we gain strength. This is where we hear testimonies. It's where we sing the songs of Zion. This is where the Bible is preached. We're instructed in the Word of God. It's where we get re-energized to fight the devil, the lion. We need to be in church. And the devil won the battle at the point that we're willing to stay home. The point at which we're willing to sacrifice going to church for something else that we want to. We've given in to the flesh, our way of thinking, our fears. The devil's found our price. He's found our idol. He's found what's more important to you than God is important. What's more important to me than the Word is important. Some want to shrug off the boundary that we've held in biblical standards of music and dress. They want to shrug that off. Some of you may leave Mount Zion one day. I don't know. I sure hope that you don't. But, yeah, you can make your own rules. You can laugh at rules, guidelines that have been set up by elders who've lived far longer than you, who see the scriptures. You can ignore what the Bible says on certain things. You can make up your own rules. You can find a watered-down church. I want you to know they're just about on every corner, where a brand of Christianity that doesn't stand for anything and a preacher that doesn't have any courage to preach on anything controversial or practical or biblical sometimes. You may become worldly. You may drift away from God. But we will still love you. You cannot get away from our love. We will continue as a church to love you, and God will too. Our arms will be open to you. I want you to know that. Our arms will be open. Your pastor will still have two legs and a piece of an ear from trying to rescue you. He's like that. He will do that. And you will not be able to outrun the love of the fellowship and the love of God. You're not going to be able to. I want to close with this story tonight. Around 1985, we were building a new church building in Ohio. And as we were doing that, a strong young couple in our church, I mean, they were strong. We wouldn't put them in leadership if they weren't. And they were in leadership in our church. They began to drift. Sad, sad thing. We had a lot of confidence in them and what God had done in their lives. We had led them to the Lord. And then they had grown and progressed. And they taught different things in our church to children. They loved Pastor Lewis. You'll get to hear him shortly. Well, yeah, you will. And they loved our church, but they wanted the things of the world. There were some things out there, and we were preaching against the world, and they didn't like that, and they wanted the world, and they got the world, and they left the church. We were pulling with everything that we had, but it wasn't enough this time. They had taught in the church. They were leaders in the church. Now they backslid, completely got away from the Lord. When they left, they took down three other couples in the church. You know, that's the way it works sometimes. One leaves and others follow. Your testimony, you don't understand how important it is sometimes. It's important that you stay right with God. It's important that you stay in your place and be edifying and encouraging to the brethren. And they didn't, and three couples left with them. Every chance that we had, maybe one or two times a year, if we could, we'd talk to them. We'd try to woo them back and talk to them, try to talk it out with them, try to see, help them to see it. I was out knocking on their door. Pastor Lewis was out there knocking on their door, some of our deacons. There was no response at all. I left Ohio in 1990. This started in 1985. 1990, I left there to come to Mount Zion. 4 years later, they still had no church. But something happened in their life. Remember, God knows your trigger points. And something happened in their life that brought them back to church. When I called Pastor Lewis about something, he said, "Oh, hey, did you know so-and-so is back in church? They just came the last 2 weeks in a row." I said, "Really? Man, that is great. Glory to God. Wonderful truth." Yeah, there were about 10 wasted years. Yes, it took a toll on their family. And the other three families never came back. That's the sadness. Yes, they were disqualified from some of their offices by then. But they came back. Important part, they came back. And their only son, they had a son and either two or three daughters, and their only son began to grow in Christ. He's now a young adult, and he began to grow. His wife, I think, got saved. They began to grow, became a deacon of the church. Glory to God. We don't give up. We're not of those who give up. The lion didn't get them for lunch. He planned to. It looked like he was going to. He had the table spread. They fell for a lot of his tomfoolery. But in the end, they came back. And I'm glad that they did. Yes, we're going to lose some of our lambs to the lion, but not all of them, thank God. We must do all that we can to keep our lambs from the lion. Don't let them even get close. If the lion gets them, we've got to do everything we can to pull them away from the lion. Two legs and the piece of an ear, if it takes that.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.